Mayor Lundberg, Counselor Van Gordon.
Here.
Counselor Wiley.
Here.
Counselor Moore.
Here.
Counselor Ralston. Counselor Woodrow.
Here.
Counselor Pictionary.
Here. I'm going to call the Lane County Board of Commissioners to order. All five commissioners are present.
And the first order of business will be a brief overview of the proposed amendments by Mark Metzger.
I'm going to give you just a real quick run through of a PowerPoint. I'm going to move quickly, so I'm not trying to slide something by you, but I did want to make sure that you understood what type of facilities are being proposed and where they're going to be located, how the amendments would change the public facilities and services map. The Eugene Springfield Public Facilities and Services Plan, it is a refinement plan, the Metro Plan, a subset of the Metro Plan. It provides short-term, long-term development guidance for key urban services like water, sanitary sewer, stormwater, and electrical facilities. We're required to have a public facilities plan, and we're required to update both the PFSP and the Metro Plan each time we make changes. The proposed amendments to PFSP are targeted at Glenwood, stormwater, and electrical facilities. These additions to the map are required to help prepare Glenwood specifically for future development. The proposed amendments would add three stormwater outfalls to the PFSP map number three. It would relocate a planned electrical subdivision substation from what is now near McVeigh Highway to an area next to the old Pape CAP facility on I-5, adjacent to I-5. It would add transmission lines that would connect the new substation to the Albi substation, the BPA substation in Goshen, and would also connect the new substation to the existing Laura Street substation in Glenwood. The planned facilities would also be added to project lists that are found in Tables 6, 8, and 18 of the PFSP. These tables and maps are all required elements of PFSP as per state planning rules. Again, these are targeted at preparing Glenwood for future development. I want to make sure you understood what is a stormwater outfall, what might it look like, and how might it affect the property owner where those outfalls are located. There are three of them. Our modern outfalls are not just a pipe end into the river. They are a pipe end typically that will drain into a stormwater swale. If you look, top left photograph is a stormwater outfall draining a 22-acre residential subdivision that was built in the last 10 years. That pipe then drains into a swale, which indeed in turn drains to the Jasper Slough. These pipe ends typically are located at the end of a street so that public works trucks and so on can get in and clean up the swale, clean out the pipes. These facilities are designed in conjunction with the property owner as development occurs so that we're not locating them in a way that prohibits development or makes inefficient use of land. The facilities themselves will be able to fit within the 75-foot setback that already exists on the Willamette River in Glenwood. So from that perspective, again, we're not taking up valuable developable land. This is land that's already protected for stormwater, for clean water purposes. When we talk about electric transmission lines, we're not talking about the big, huge BPA tower that require a 300-foot wide right-of-way. These are pole-mounted lines. These happen to be lines that come into the Laura Street substation. You can see they're single poles. They're taller than the typical distribution poles that would be in neighborhoods and so on. The Glenwood development area, the neighborhoods, the commercial and residential areas in Glenwood that will be developed will not have these overhead lines in them. Distribution will be underground, but these particular transmission lines are what would connect to Goshen and would connect to Laura Street. In this case, the connection from the Glenwood substation to Goshen would be down the I-5 right-of-way. The connection from the new substation to Laura Street would follow Henderson Street north to the railroad tracks and then follow the railroad right-of-way into Springfield. So we're locating power lines and so on in right-of-ways. We're not cutting through the middle of people's properties. We did have a letter submitted for the record from the Seaver family, who owns property just south of the Springfield Bridges. Wonderful family, very positive participants in the Glenwood plan. They expressed their concern that they have both the stormwater outfall showing on their property and also this transmission line. And we met with them personally, along with some electrical engineers, and explained that these facilities will not cut across their property. They'll be staying in the right-of-ways to minimize any kind of impact to their developability on their property. We met just before the planning commission meeting. They prepared the letter, we put that in the record, but after meeting with them, they did not feel that they needed to attend the planning commission meeting to get that money. So I'm not saying they're not concerned, but all this to say that we tried to explain that the real impact of a stormwater facility or transmission line on their particular property would be de minimis. You know what a substation looks like. The green triangles, number 124, 25, and 26, are the new stormwater outfalls. We have to show both the icon and the number. These numbers relate to tables that have information about when these projects will be developed, how much they'll cost, etc. There's the electrical substation, the arrow showing it being relocated from McVeigh to I-5, and then the red line showing the transmission line connecting both substation to both the Laura Street and to the I-5 down to Alvey. This map only shows those facilities inside the Glenwood area, but those transmission lines obviously will continue into Springfield. We showed these on this map because these are facilities that both Lane County and the city of Springfield need to act upon. In the future, Springfield can act independently on those facilities that are wholly within their state limits. But these facilities cross in and out of Springfield city limits, but they're all within Springfield's River Grove area. We are making both a Metro Plan amendment and an amendment to the Public Facilities and Services Plan, which is a refinement plan, or sometimes called a functional plan. There are two separate sets of approval criteria. They overlap. It happens that the refinement plan amendment criteria are more extensive than the Metro Plan amendment criteria. So we have developed staff reports based on the refinement plan criteria because they cover both. And in this case, the refinement plan criteria goes a little farther than the Metro Plan criteria. We will be looking tonight at the following criteria. Is the part of the proposed amendments, do they conform to the Metro Plan? Do they conform to applicable state statutes? Do they conform to applicable statewide planning goals and administrative rules? And we have here tonight the Board of County Commissioners because they need to participate in this particular approval process. These are 11 by 17 maps, just like the other Metro Plan maps. And these just illustrate what the maps would look like. Let me go in. At your desk, at your seat tonight, I've given to you a copy of two emails that were received late this afternoon. Okay, we'll talk about these.
Next, we'll have an explanation of the quasi-judicial hearing.
Thank you. So because due to the small number of properties that are impacted by these amendments, staff has notified the public and processed this amendment as a quasi-judicial hearing. So included in the quasi-judicial hearing, the public gets an opportunity to provide a comment and should be aware that the applicable criteria are listed in the staff report and staff will review the applicable criteria. Testimony must be directed at the criteria indicated or the criteria the party believes to apply. Failure to raise an issue without sufficient specificity may preclude you from raising an issue at the Land Use Board of Appeals. By statute, anyone can request that the record be held open for at least 7 days. And Mark will introduce that there was a request that the record be held open for 2 weeks. Because the joint elected officials are not reconvening until September, we recommend that you allow the full 2 weeks as opposed to the statutory minimum of 7 days. If there are no, other than that, the next step is to declare ex parte contact and any potential bias.
So I told the council for any ex parte contact. Okay, so we'll poll the council. Joe?
I'm going to vote ex parte contact.
No. Not either.
Jimmy?
Nor do I.
Nor do I.
And I'll ask the board if there's any ex parte contact on the board.
None.
And none on my part.
Council Woodrow, for our first reading, I need to read the ordinance.
Yes. That's next.
Oh, sorry.
Go forth and conquer.
Okay.
Right, ordinance.
I jumped ahead.
Oh, okay.
Springfield Ordinance Number 1, an ordinance amending the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan consistent with Policy G3 in Chapter 3, Section G, Public Facilities and Service Element. Amending Table 6, Table 8, and Table 18, and Map 3 and Map 4 of the Public Facilities and Services Plan to update the project list and map location of planned public facilities in Glenwood, adopting a separate overlay clause. This is first reading.
I have it in our agenda as the second reading.
That's correct.
The second reading.
This is the second reading.
Okay.
It's
okay.
A little different process.
Yeah,
but we're on the same page.
We're on the same page.
Okay, good.
And I'll look at Andy. Do I need to read this into the record?
Yeah.
So I'll read this into second reading public hearing for ordinance 1318 in the matter of amending the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan consistent with policy G3 in chapter 3, section G, public facilities and services element, amending table 6, table 8, and table 18, and map 3 and map 4 of the public facilities and services plan to update the project list and map locations of planned public facilities in Glenwood and adopting a savings and separability clause, Lane County file number 509-PA-15-05-397.
Just an initial question. I know this says Eugene Springfield Public Facilities Facilities and Services Plan. Is there now still existing a Eugene Springfield Urban Growth Boundary? That was a reference made here. On how can we cut off part from the Springfield?
I may have misspoken. We have a Springfield urban growth boundary. These actions take place within the Springfield urban growth boundary. Some of the facilities are located inside land that is incorporated in Springfield. A number of the facilities are outside the city limits but still inside our UGBs. So.
Okay. What are numbers 9 and 10 down here south of out in the LCC area? What are those?
I will explain that part of the staff report. It was part of the communication that came in late this afternoon, and I just wanted to explain. I believe we have a citizen here tonight who will testify to that.
Okay. I just wanted to know what 9 and 10
are. We'll explain.
So we are ready to open the public hearing.
I need to open the public hearing. Oh, sorry. I'll open the public hearing for Lane County.
That's okay.
You have a packet that's presented to you that identifies the criteria for approval and provides findings for you to accept those criteria. I read those criteria for you from the presentation before the council. Do we need to read it again?
If the audience does not, is there a staff report available for everyone in the public that wants a copy?
No, I'll just go ahead and read it again. The criteria for approval, as mentioned earlier, are the proposed method plan amendments, revised plan amendments, consistent with the method plan? Are they consistent with applicable state statutes? And are they consistent with applicable statewide planning goals and administrative goals? Those are the criteria. Report is organized around those criteria. I think, short of going through one by one all the findings, I'd like just to make a blanket statement that there are findings here that would allow you to make an objective decision to approve the proposed amendments. That said, you have to answer any questions you might have about those findings. I'd like to clarify one particular finding. This is one that Councilor Woodrow found today. There's a finding that simply says that our council initiated this amendment process on September 15, 2015. Now, while staff like to anticipate the wants and desires of council, I assure you that we don't have that kind of vision, but it should read 2014. That should be correct in the record. Again, any other questions, I think I'll respond to. Now I'll speak to you about this. Before you at your seat, at 3 o'clock we received an email communication from Charles Stewart and a little later another one from Diane Garcia, expressing concern about two particular substations that are shown on map 4. These I have highlighted in a heavy dark circle that's dashed. These are substations E9 and E10. They are located west of I-5 in Eugene's urban growth boundary. These are facilities that are substations proposed by EWIP. They are on the map already. They are not subject to this amendment process. Our focus is on EWIP. I believe Mr. Stewart will address his concerns to this body at the appropriate time, but and he may have other concerns. As council suggested, staff would recommend allowing the two-week extension of the record to be open. We have time before our second reading decision process. I'm not sure when this comes up before the board again, but I'm expecting sometime in September.
September 15th is what's
So there's time to allow discussion. So just wanted to clarify that at least the concerns that were specified in some detail on the email are not part of this proposal. They are items, they're substations that are already on the map. They're not new, and they're not in Springfield's UGB. They're in Eugene urban growth boundary and the LCC base.
They're inside the plan boundary on Eugene's side of I-5 and the urban growth boundary.
Any questions about findings that you might have reviewed? This is intended to be pretty much a housekeeping exercise, but nonetheless, it is important. It's required by law.
Any questions?
With regard to the facilities besides the electrical facilities, you have some water facilities that are part of this as well.
No, stormwater. We do stormwater facilities.
So you have a stormwater map that's separate from the electrical facilities.
We do, and it's in your packet. The reason I pulled this out was simply to make it more convenient for you not to have to be looking at your iPad.
Okay. And then, that's very helpful. And then, secondly, regarding other public facilities, is there any coordination requirement for other public facilities that would have to be located in the future, such as parks or schools or roads or any other public facilities that should be coordinated with water and electric?
As part of our development review process, we do make contact, you notice, to other Springfield-related agencies. And there's no conflict with regard to that. That's the level of coordination, I guess, is the development review committee.
Okay, and so is this consistent with those other public facilities?
Yes.
Mr. Clark? Any other questions? Then we go to the testimony. Okay, do we have any testimony in support of the application? Any testimony opposed to the application? I do not have any check marks on this card. So it's neutral. So do we have any testimony opposed to it?
Oh, I'm opposed.
Right. Opposed? Okay.
I'm opposed to it being approved today, so yes, that's
okay.
Why I'm here. I feel
right.
Okay.
I'm
just speaking now. It's okay?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much for letting me speak. These are 3 minutes or whatever.
We need your name and address,
yes.
And you have 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you. My name is Charles Stewart. I live at 34141 City Loop Road in Lane County. I'm a Lane County resident. And I want to thank Mr. Metzger for kindly explaining some of this to me just as the meeting began, this particular item. So regardless, I am concerned about the proposal. It came to me late, and I know it hasn't, despite your proper public notice, I know that many of my neighbors and other concerned groups that live near me have not really had time to look it over. So for the benefit of everyone, that accessing more people's wisdom, who know much better than I, to look at this part carefully, I'm asking if you would keep the record open on this. And I had asked for 2 weeks. Your counsel then explained to me that by law you must keep it open for 1 week. But actually, one of these bodies will not be able to hear again on this until September. So I now amend my request and ask that you leave it open for 1 month. I'm here formally speaking only for myself. I know I'm almost out of time. But I've served as a kind of a coordinator of information for the CD Loop residents who have a lot of concern about right now about any activity basically between Franklin and LCC, which does not directly concern us, but it's the area adjacent to it. Your proposal does bring a medium transmission line through that area. Necessarily it has to if you're coming down that way. So I'm just asking if you consider leaving it open. And I'll quickly mention some of the groups that we always work with are the Arboretum, the Friends of Howard Buford Park, the Sierra Club, the Willamette Farm and Food Coalition. So I just serve kind of as a clearinghouse for a lot of Lane County groups who might be a little concerned. And again, I don't know if there's anything wrong with this proposal at this point, but I'm just asking that you would leave it open. My request would now be that you leave it open for a month, since nothing will happen formally until mid-September, I think we've been told. Thank you for your time.
Thank
now
you.
I'll leave it to you, and you can go about your business. Thank you.
I have no other cards. Do we have any other testimony in support or opposed to the application? Submission rebutted by staff?
Just a couple points of clarification to make sure. There was two published notices for this particular hearing, one for Planning Commission, one for this meeting tonight. We also sent a mailed notice to everyone within 300 feet of any of the facilities that we're speaking of tonight. So we more than met the requirement of the law in this situation. I think just wanted to clarify that while Mr. Stewart is concerned about not having received the notice, we did make an attempt to notify those people who would be directly affected, and they felt the law in that respect. We wanted to be respectful to their concerns, and we looked to his counsel about the two concerns.
time to be able to respond. And so at some point, if we do recommend you put a limit on that so staff can do their work.
We have a September 8th second reading. So it usually requires about 3 weeks to get through our review process and to make sure that everything is correct, and your packets are ready and so on. So I guess that would be my concern. Don't go deep into August.
Thank you. And you know, while we fulfill the letter of the law, you know, the changes that are being proposed here, particularly for the people who live in the area, are going to last for the rest of their life. So, you know, a couple of weeks doesn't seem like a lot to ask. And, you know, 4 weeks doesn't seem like a lot to ask. We're looking for this until it comes spring.
Chair, I just need some clarification. In my understanding that this meeting, this body, what we're doing, has no jurisdiction over 9 and 10. Is that correct?
That's correct, and I don't want you to put words in Mr. Stewart's mouth. I think his concern is primarily the impact on the CBU area,
right,
and these particular facilities. I guess from a staff perspective, I think what we're looking at here tonight is very important to Glenwood residents. I'm not sure it has any significant impact on people in the CBU area. That's not to discount their concerns. I think because the city has discussed before expanding into that CBU area, anything that comes up is probably something to think about or worry about on their part, but I've tried to allay their concerns that these particular amendments would have an impact.
If they have a concern about this, the proper jurisdiction would be Eugene and Lane County. Is that correct? Right. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else?
I want to clarify with the House of Lords. Any request to hold a record of the mandates under our statutes that we have to hold over for 7 days, is that an accurate statement?
That's right.
So there is no decision for this joint body whether or not to hold the record open. We had a request, so now we have to. Somewhat unfortunate because we could have taken action tonight on what's basically a housekeeping item, on an item that's been published twice in the record pretty well. Transmission line that does extend down there. You know, I'm very familiar with the electric facilities in that area. Having been a former UEB employee, was actually employed at UEB when this map was really originally drawn in 2004. It's just going to follow existing transmission line down I-5. It's not going to be a new facility or anything. So it's disappointing to have us have to have another meeting. Because somebody wants to go deeper into something that's a very housekeeping item and just noticed it today. But I appreciate Commissioner Farr's statement, though. In their mind, they don't know that it's just housekeeping and they think it might be something that's permanently damaging. So it sounds like what we need to do is pick a time that's at least 3 weeks in advance of September 4th.
Staff has been huddled around the calendar here and would recommend August 14th as the last day. Should not require any extra meeting. We would simply close the record. On the Springfield side, we would bring recommendations and a summary of what other information we might receive to that meeting, present it to you, make a recommendation. You should be able to make a decision. Same with the county, I don't believe that there would be necessarily another meeting.
No.
But if you would have additional information presented, if we receive additional information.
Yeah. At the next meeting.
No, August 14th is a Friday.
Yeah. 5 p.m. on that, August 14th, I guess would be the recommendation.
I'm looking for council comments.
Need a motion and a vote to close in on that
date and time. So I'd like to make a motion to leave it open until August 14th at 5 p.m.
One second.
And you're also closing the public hearing.
Today.
Pardon?
Within the public hearing, you're going to go ahead and close tonight and just leave the record open, is that the motion?
That's the motion.
You have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Chair, I move the second reading, setting the third for September 15th, Parasol, closing the public hearing, and leaving the record open until August 15th at 5 p.m.
Second. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
This adjourns the meeting, yes?